Shalom Aleichem, everyone. As we prepare for Parshas Kisavo and see the Yom Tov of Rosh Hashanah approaching, we go into Slichas in Yetzer Hashem on Mitzvah Shabbos, and we become closer and closer to Rabbeinu Shalom in these wonderful, wonderful days where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Karay, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is close to us, Bezus Hashem, and we try to become close to Him, Kaviyachol. Avarat Kisavo and Avarat on Rosh Hashanah. In Parshas Kisavo, we have Vakimoisa Lecha Avonim Gedolos V'Sadata Oisam Basid. I have the mitzvah of the stones Yeshua was going to do, commanded in this week's parasha that happened later in time Yeshua when they crossed the Yarden. That is to set up stones, have them smeared with sid, with some type of a lime, and V'chasavta Oleh is called Divrei HaTorah, as I said. On it was written the entire Torah, however it was exactly the entire Torah, but that's what was written on the stones. There's a machlaik in the Gemara and cited Aflam and Heim and Beis. Rav Shimon holds that it was written on the Sid, which is really the order of the Pasuk. Hakimai Sochavanim, stand up stones, V'sata Ois of the Sid, then put the plaster on it, and then Kasavta Oleh is called Divrei HaTorah, as I said. On that you etch out, I guess it means Kasavta here is a type of etching out, a type of chiseling in, and the stones are chiseled in. That's the way that this mitzvah is done. That's Rav Shimon's opinion. However, the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda is, no, they wrote it on the Avonim, and after they wrote it on the Avonim, it was written on, the Sid was covered, the writing, in which case, in order for someone to access that writing, they have to peel off the Sid and take a look at the writing underneath. What's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda? Why it was done this way? Because the writing of Torah was made available to a Messiah only if they're willing to do something to get it, not for the sightseers. It wasn't done for sightseers who just walk by and they're curious what it says. No. Torah is meant for those who are willing to extend themselves for it. And therefore, the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda is that it was written, chiseled onto the stones, and that was covered with sin. All right. Tupshatim on what the mitzvah is and what actually took place in the time of Yeshua. It's a fascinating tshuva, Rabbi Kivega, Tinyana, Chuvas Tezvav. Kivega was asked. Somebody was binding svarim that were falling apart. In order to bind the svarim, he had to take tape, take paper, wrap the binding, and glue it down onto the words of the sefer. So paper that was actually glued onto the words of the sefer in order to keep the binding together. Obviously, on that page, no one will be able to read it. When the Kivega was there, it's a mutter to fix the sefer to glue it down on top of words. So the Rav, who asked the Shiloh, said, look, the Beis Hillel, the Sefer Beis Hillel, the Kadmon, it's a kasha. Kasha on Rabbi Yehuda. How could they put Sid on top of Divrei Torah? It's awesome. So the Shiloh says to Rabbi Kivega, so we see that it's also to do it, because they're asking, how can you do it? It's also. Mikaeger, in his tshuva, writes in part, I would say it's a right the other way. The answer to the Beisol's kasha might be, that's mutter, as long as you're covering it in a way that's not destroying it. So, either it's a right from the Sid, it's not a right from the Sid, or it's a machlaikis between them. If putting something on top of letters, gluing it on top of letters, whether that's mutter or whether that's us. Now, there's a much more fascinating piece to this, which Rabbi Kivega brings. Let's say wax drips on a Sefer Torah, tefillin, or mezuzah. Now, we don't understand why there's so many tshuvas about wax dripping But it used to be, before electricity in the very olden days, that in order for a person to be able to see, a person had candles, and the candles were wax. And the wax very often dripped onto the thing that was being written. So we find in Shuvahs about wax that dripped on a Sefer Torah. Now, if it blocks you seeing the words, well, you can't read the words. But let's say the wax is not on the part you have to read. Or let's say it drips on tefillin, or drips on mezuzah. Does it passel or doesn't it passel? What's it in when the wax is on the letters? The fascinating Magen Avraham. Magen Avraham says in Siman Lamed Beis of Kotel Chav Gimel, if wax drops on a parsha of tefillin or on a mezuzah, he says, so cool to shave him. If the wax was removed, then mutter. So this is a riddle. That means when the wax is on the letters, the Magen Avraham holds that it's possible. He says, so cool, if they removed it, then it's kosher. But 1 second, if when the wax is on it, then it's possible. So when you take it off, you can't be masher a mezuzah that way. A mezuzah should be written in order. If the wax on top of it passels the letter, then removing it shouldn't be able to make it kosher. It's like chok teiches. You create a letter without writing it. That's awesome. So the Magen Avraham is something of a mystery. I can hear two sides. Wax on top of a letter of a mezuzah. Should we say it's kosher? Just like the sid on top of the stones here, that the lettering is still considered lettering. Not considered erasing it. So when it's on it, it's still kosher. You can see it. The wax is blocking it. But maybe it's kosher. If you hold it's kosher, then it should be kosher without removing it. Now if you hold that it's considered erasing it, to have a problem, why did he say that when you remove it, it becomes kosher? It's a very mysterious and difficult Magen Avraham to be able to understand. Kidega says, on the shaila that the person asked, whether you can glue a paper on top of letters, Kidega says, well, from Magen Avraham, it sounds that it's erasing. Why? Because when the wax is over it, it's not kosher. On the other hand, it sounds like from Magen Avraham, that's not erasing. Because when you remove it, it's kosher. Baisdais, we consider it that it's been there all along. So, it's sort of a mystery that the question is, why does the din, when you have wax or a paper or sid on top of letters, do we say that it's still underneath, it's still a Sefer Torah, or not? It sounds like there are two dinim in the writing of the Sefer Torah. It could be that there's one din that the letters have to be there. It's another din that has to be readable. I'll be able to read it. It has to be able to be something that could be read. So it would seem that even when wax is on it, it's still good. But it can be read. It's a tonight. It has to be able to be read. When you remove the wax, now it could be read. So there are two dinim. One, you have to have the tumuna of the ice, form of the ice. And the other din is that it has to be readable. And that's what it seems from this, because we have these dual dinim, these two dinim here, that has to be readable. And yeah, when the wax is on top of it, it's not readable. It's not absurd, total absurd. Well, it seems there's one din that you have to have the letter, the tumuna of the ice is. Another din that has to be able to be read. This is the Chiddush that comes out from this somehow mysterious series of ideas. It would come out that the sid, when you put it on the stones, the osius are there. You cover it with sid, it's not readable. No din on stones, it has to be readable. On Shankhead, if you do that with a Sefer Torah, it'll be absurd, it's not readable. You peel it off, and now it becomes readable. And then it's kosher. That's what it seems. This, to me, answers something of a question. If two letters are touching in a Sefer Torah, it's a mezuzah, it's possible. What is it two letters are touching in a mezuzah? So it's possible. Now, when you erase the touching, is that Shalei Kesidra. The letters have to be written in order. And if you're fixing a letter after the prior letters were already written, that's no good. The previous letters were completed later. Yet, most Rishonim hold, and we pass them that way, Mikaretin, that if two letters touch, and you fix that later, it's not a chasarin in the order. Why is it chasarin in the order? It's puzzle. The answer is, when two letters touch, we ask a child, is it readable? Now, if it's not readable, you can't fix it later. The child reads it properly, just it's touching. So then it already has the tumunas ha'isius. It's already readable. It's already readable in order. It's missing the tumuna of the isya, because it's touching, and that you're fixing later. But the kedinah syndrome would seem to be a din in the readability of the letter. So this is all an insight into the mystery of the Sid covering the letters and what could come out halacha l'maase. Let me share with you a thought regarding the upcoming week and the week that follows. Bereshis, I believe it says in the Baal HaTorim, is Isis Aleph B'Tishrei. The first day of Tishrei is Bereshis Bar Elokim. That's not really true. We had just last week in Nishmar, in Taisis on Chesam et Aleph, that in Rosh Hashanah, well, in Rosh Hashanah at Nishmar, Taisis on Chesam et Aleph said that Bereshis was on Chafei Tishrei, Chafei Elul, was on the 25th day of Elul. Adam was created on the first day of Tishrei. So Bereshis was not Aleph Tishrei at all. Wow, that really needs some sort of a hezer. That's not Bereshis at all. Because Bereshis, when the Aretz was Sayu Bavayu, that was on Chafei. Needs some sort of an explanation. The answer is, Zevin, Parshas Sazriya, and a Sefer Torah, Lit Torah Ulamayadim. Rav Zevin says, I have a steer to Shabbos and Rosh Hashanah. Shabbos is the most important day of the week. It's the last day of the week. Rosh Hashanah is the most important day of the week. It's the first day of the week. Make up your mind. Which is it? Which is the one? What's most important? First is best or last is best? Rosh Hashanah first is most important. Shabbos last is most important. And for Rav Zevin, depends. If you have a bunch of equal things, and the first is the most important. Amir has many sons. The first is the Bechor. A bunch of equal things. Then the first is the most important. However, when you have a series of things, and they're all meant for the tachlis, for the what comes out at the end, the purpose of it is the result. The result is most important. You spend time building a house, and then when you finish it, that's the most important day. That's the day that you're looking forward to. That's the tachlis. Adam was created last. Adam was created last. We tell him, Yitaish kadamach. Yitaish, the flea is even before you. You're not chashuv. We also say, Adam, you created last, a mashal to a king who prepares a banquet and brings in the person, the guest of honor, last after he prepared it. It means being last is best. Then we say, Yitesh Kadavat, the flea is before you. The answer is, if you're just an ordinary person in the Bria, so all creatures are equal. Adam is last. If you make yourself the purpose of the Bria, if a person does nice and tight, and he does the purpose, he's the purpose of Bria. When you're the purpose, then last is best. Then last is the most chashuv thing. So Rosh Hashanah is Rosh Hashanah. It's one of many equal days of the year. First is most important, like a Bechor. Shabbos is the Taklis of the Bria. The whole Bria was to get to Shabbos. Very geshmaka rule. Beautiful rule. Now, we come back to the question we had. Bereshis, Aleph B'Tishrei. Don't think it's just a date, like you put a date on your letters. So Bereshis, Aleph B'Tishrei is date. It's not the date. It's really not the date that was the beginning of creation. Bereshis, the remez here, Bereshis, Aleph B'Tishrei. The purpose of Bereshis was to get to Aleph B'Tishrei. There's an amkus to this. Bereshis, Hashem started right away in the beginning of creation on Chafei Elul. but his eye was to the tachlis. The tachlis was al b'tishrei. That's the remez. Don't think Ramazim have a lightness to them. No, it's a way of dating it. It's a cutesy vart. It's not a cutesy vart. It's a tifa vart. The vart is in Bereishit and Chaf Hayevel. Everything was to the tachlis of Aleph Tishrei, of all that happened when Adam was being created. And that's something we have to know. And with that, I want to wish everybody an absolutely wonderful, wonderful day, a wonderful, wonderful Shabbos, and a wonderful, wonderful preparation for Rosh Hashanah HaBa'aleinu L'tayim.